Audioversity, the voice of Reichman University.
Bottoms Up, the stories behind your favorite drinks with Shiri Epstein and Alan Frieder.
Welcome to Bottoms Up here in the Audioversity, voice of Reichman University 106.2 FM. I'm your host, Shiri, and I'm here with my co-host and favorite drinking partner, Alan.
Hello, everyone.
So, Alan, first episode.
Yeah, finally.
Finally. This idea has been brewing up in our brains for a while.
Well, yeah, it's been a long time.
So today's episode, we're going to talk about my home and lovely country of Bolivia.
Hey, we're going to talk about Singani.
Yeah. Alan, now that you know me well enough, how do you feel about someday drinking Singani with me?
Please.
If we can find it. I don't think we can.
I'll take the day drinking.
Of what, though? Singani? Are we going to... We can brew it up. We can make it.
I don't think it's going to be that hard. I mean, if Bolivians can do it, so can we.
Exactly. So I should state that although I am Bolivian, Alan is still South American and very close by to Bolivia.
Yeah, I'm from Venezuela.
So even though we don't share the same drink, I feel like we do share the same drinking culture.
Yeah, and if it's not the same, it's very similar.
Yeah. So let's start off our episode. So Singani, as I said, is a Bolivian distilled brandy made from white muscata of Alexandria grapes. That sounds way more fancy than what it is.
It's basically a wine grape produced in the high valleys of in Bolivia, in the country's national... It is also the national's country...
The national's country.
The country's national distilled spirit.
It is. Singani has been produced since the 16th century, shortly after the Spanish arrived in South America, which I feel like makes sense. The Spanish brought a lot of alcohol and drugs to South America.
Mostly alcohol and diseases, but not and, drugs.
No, there were drugs, at least in Bolivia. The Spanish started with the consumption of coca leaves.
Really?
Yeah. It was given to the indigenous to make them work in the mines. History, people, history.
It was first distilled by monasteries who needed sacramental wine and found it practical to distill.
Linguistic evidence suggests that the word Singani arises from native Aymara language words Singuani, which basically means the same thing, and it's distilled.
Unlike neighboring Pisco, which spread itself across two contending countries, Singani has always been made only in the territory of Bolivia, and no other controversy, unlike in Pisco, there's no controversy about who's the cultural owner.
Yes. Singani is only made in Bolivia, and we are very proud of it. Pisco, this has nothing to do with it, but I think it's a Peruvian drink.
No, it's mainly from the Andes, basically.
Yeah, I don't think Bolivians claim Pisco.
Neither Venezuelans, but we still drink it.
Definitely claim Singani. Singani is just ours and only ours. Thank you. An exclusive regional product of over 400 years, Bolivia only in recent decades has moved to protect its interests. Part of the motivation was established standards so that moonshine could not be called Singani. Because, let me tell you a little bit of Bolivian drinking culture, which we haven't really talked about, but Bolivia has this thing where alcohol is very cheap, but it's still usually made in very bad conditions. So a lot of people just make Singani at home and sell it in barrels of alcohol. Like huge, like 10-liter barrels of alcohol.
But why am I not surprised, though?
It's not surprising. It's very common in South America. But, recently Bolivia was like, yeah, this isn't okay because it is killing a lot of people daily. So they're like, let's just not allow them to call that Singani. And then they can't blame Singani for killing millions.
Since its creation in the mid to late 1500s, Singani has been usually drunk as is. Also as a cocktail. As a cocktail, Singani was introduced only in the 19th century. However, around the year 1608, in the cold environment of the mines located above 14,000 feet, which is close to 4,000 meters, which is insane. It's really hard to breathe.
We are the highest country in the world. Highest capital as well.
So Potosí miners used to mix hot milk with Singani and spices and called it sucumbe, a name of possible African origin and the oldest Singani mixed drink known.
Yes. We will talk a little bit more about this, but drinking in mines is a very Bolivian thing to do. Miners do tend to get drunk. We will talk about coming up the carnival, in which represents the mines and the drinking culture. But it's very common to see Singani mixed with a lot of like random shit that people just have lying around their house, like milk. I don't know if you've ever mixed alcohol and milk, but it's not good.
I have tried anise and yogurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's not. It's not good.
I mean, it's not that bad.
It makes it a weird texture.
Yes, but it's great for day drinking.
I mean, yeah. I'm sure that these miners were drinking it at like 4 in the morning when they go to work, so.
But that's at night. That's still not the day.
Let's agree to disagree, but the thing with drinking in mines is that it's such a horrible job that they just stay either drugged or drunk the whole time, aka coca leaves.
Yeah, makes sense.
Or Singani. Singani is a wild popular drink in national festivals, mostly notably St. John's Eve and the annual Virgen del Socavón. I should know how to say that. Carnival, also known as the Carnival of Oruro.
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 Better. Thank you.
If you want the traditional Bolivian way of saying it, Oruro. Oruro is a city in Bolivia where the biggest mine is centered. It's completely wrecked and about to destroy itself, but it is where the biggest mine is. Yeah, that's where we get all our national capita from. Anyway, Singani is the traditional drink at weddings, religious holidays, birthday parties, and other celebrations. And I have a funny story coming up about, I don't think I wrote it down, but I just remembered one, about a religious holiday in Singani, which I think you will find very entertaining to listen to, Alan.
Please go ahead.
Let's finish this and then I will tell us our story.
Yes. So a common pastime is to play cacho, a cup and dice game similar to Yahtzee or Generala, while drinking Singani, either as a penalty or a reward, depending on the player's mood.
It's South America. It's always a reward. Actually, I gotta tell you, Singani does not taste that good. So it really depends. It's not. Yeah. It's not one of those alcohols that like that are grape based that you want to consume. It's not like wine. It does not taste good, but you still drink it.
Fair enough.
In the Carnaval of Oruro, it is traditional to drink every stop on the pilgrimage from La Paz to Oruro. It is customary to drink in the entrance of the Oruro mine with the devil. Let me explain that because I feel like that just sounds very weird. So the Carnival of Oruro is basically, I can't say it when I'm saying English things and then like I need to stick in a Spanish word, it doesn't work. What happens in the Carnival is people dance from La Paz to Oruro, which is like a whole week strip. Yeah. And they basically, the only way that they can do this without dying somehow is by consuming alcohol all throughout the way. And then once you get there, the whole point is to reach the mind of Oruro. And in the entrance of the mind, there's a devil. Because according to the Bolivian Aymara tradition, is that the devil is in charge of the mines. So we drink with the devil to please him so that the mine will not fall apart, which it already technically is, but, you know,
The devil will save us.
Anyways. Hopefully. Hopefully, that's the whole point of it. So you drink at the entrance, take a shot with the devil, you give him a shot, you take a shot. And every single person has to do this.
Yeah.
Every single dancer. I need you guys to understand that this is such a big celebration that they close everything down for the whole week. And millions of people do this pilgrimage. Millions. So the devil must be very, very drunk at the end.
And pleased.
By the way, it's a statue of a devil that you drink with. You just pour a shot on the floor.
Yeah.
For the devil. You also pour a shot every time you drink for the Pachamama, which is the Mother Earth.
In Venezuela, we have a similar tradition, though.
You do? What is it?
When you open a new bottle, regardless of what it is, if it's rum, whiskey, whatever. No, you throw it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You throw a little bit on the ground. It can't be on the floor. It has to be on the ground. And for the dead.
For the dead?
Yeah.
Okay, so we do it for Mother Earth, a.k.a. Pachamama.
We do it for the dead.
But we also do, like, every time you're consuming alcohol, you're supposed to give a little bit, too.
You know, you have to give the first pour of the bottle. It has to be on the floor, mm-hmm. like on the ground, for the dead.
And you're supposed to, so from Bolivia, you're supposed to leave a little bit of your shot and throw it out.
Oh, okay.
And then if you're opening a bottle, obviously, you pour the first part of it. But if the bottle's open, you leave a little bit of your shot and throw it out. It's supposed to be for good luck, but I don't know. Anyway, so stories. I got some fun stories for you, Alan. So let me start with the one that is not written here, because I think that's the one that's going to entertain you the most. Religious holidays in Bolivia, especially if we're talking about indigenous traditions. We have several groups of indigenous people in Bolivia. The two biggest ones are the Aymara and the Quechua. They have very fun and weird traditions. So one of the things that they will do is at the beginning of some of the summer months, I think it is. We don't really have summer in Bolivia, but like technically the summer months, they will sacrifice goats.
Okay.
Specifically goat blood to the Pachamama.
Yes.
So... One time I was going, I don't remember where I was coming from, but I was 100% with my uncle in his car. And we got stopped in the middle of a religious holiday where they were sacrificing a goat. Now, let me explain that this goat is very well fed. And this only happens in usually very poor communities and areas in Bolivia. It's not like a very common thing to see. But the goat is probably better fed than like most of the community. And then they carry her around, by the way, they carry the goat around. And it's usually a female goat. They carry her around the town or the area and sing and celebrate and drink.
That sounds very indigenous.
Yes. So what they usually do drink is singani. They get really freaking drunk. And they also might give a couple shots to the goat. So yeah, I did not watch the goat get sacrificed, thankfully, because I was probably like 12.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
But they do give a couple of their shots to the goat. Get the goat a little drunk before sacrificing it.
At least it's before.
After the sacrifice of the goat, they do, by the way, celebrate and get more wasted. Which is why singani is sold in barrels. I got fun stories. Most of them are for carnival because it is the time that there is the most amount of alcohol drinking in the streets. After the first day of carnival, you usually will find people passed out on the street, like just straight up, like in the middle of the highway, passed out. So it's very common to just like find barrels of alcohol everywhere. Especially where if you go around the places where people are dancing for the carnival, my friends and I would try to steal some, singani where people danced. We never got any because we were not in dancing costumes and
you were caught basically.
And we weren't caught. They would just shoo us off because they're also drunk. They're drinking. Yeah. Everyone's drinking. They would just shoo us off and be like, ugh, annoying kids.
No, but again, a proper drunk person will always offer you though.
No, because the millions of other dancers need to consume that alcohol.
Fair
enough. So they're not going to give it to a bunch of rowdy 18-year-olds.
Fair enough.
My next story is from something called Alasitas. I think I have explained to you what Alasitas is before. But for our viewers, it's an annual month-long cultural event in La Paz that honors Ekeko, the Aymara god of abundance, and is noted to be giving of miniature things. So basically what happens in the... I know I've told you this, but for our viewers that have never heard about Alasitas before in their life... What basically happens is that you buy a whole bunch of miniature things. So like cars, houses, roosters and chickens for husbands and wives, because I guess that makes sense. Whatever you want, like you can buy restaurants and stores and money, and like you can buy any kind of money, by the way. It's not just like Bolivian currency. You can buy dollars, you can buy euros, you can buy anything. Anything you can think about, you will find in Alasitas, and everything's miniature. Everything's miniature. And then what you do is you get this god figurine. It's Ekeko, which supposedly his story is actually a love story, and he became a god because he was so much in love, and like he sacrificed himself for this love, so they just helped him out, and that's how he became a god. But anyway, what kind of happens is that you give him cigarettes to get your abundance. And along with the cigarettes, you give him Singani. And by the way, it's the cheapest Singani you can find, and it's the cheapest alcohol you can, and the cheapest cigarettes you can find. I do not recommend, if you ever are in La Paz around Alasitas time, to consume any of the cigarettes or the Singani, because it is straight up rubbing alcohol.
Fair enough. Makes sense.
And the cigarettes are made of, like, the worst thing ever. Because you're not supposed to consume them. Yeah. So they'll make it out of, like, anything.
Yeah.
I do know a lot of people who have gotten drunk off of the Singani that is sold in Alasitas for the Ekeko. Which, by the way, happened a lot in my school trips, because they used to take us to Alasitas in school.
And also, since it's supposed to be that cheap when you're in school, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it's first of all, Singani is always cheap. It's like a cheap alcohol. But it does not help the fact that school used to take us and be like, take half an hour, go buy yourself shit, miniature shit. And people would come back very freaking drunk or very well fed. I should say I ate a lot of good food in Alasitas. That's one thing I miss about it. Not the alcohol. Do not consume that. It smells... Like, if you ever thought about drinking straight up, like, alcohol, that's what it smells like. Like, rubbing alcohol kind of thing.
I'm not scared of that.
It can kill you. So can Singani, by the way.
Exactly.
There's a movie. There's a movie. I'm pretty sure it's Quien Mató a la Llamita Blanca, which I keep commenting about. Alan loves the name.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
The name translates to who killed the little white llamita, small llama.
The little white llama. Who killed the little white llama?
There we go. There's a scene in the movie where they go to commit, one of the characters goes to commit suicide by getting drunk on Singani in a room. Like, it's an actual thing. You can purchase a room to commit suicide in, and every like 12 hours, I think it is, they give you more alcohol, and it's like you go insane and end up committing suicide if you don't either die from alcohol poisoning or not eating, because they don't eat food when they're there. But yeah, what they do drink, because it's super cheap and super shittily made, is Singani, because as I keep saying, it is generally made in barrels. Not anymore. Nowadays, because Bolivia has taken ownership of Singani, it's now actually produced correctly in factories and like put in bottles. You can still find it in barrels if you go to like the poor parts of La Paz.
Yeah, but it's probably homemade.
It is homemade. It's definitely moonshine. And I don't recommend doing it, but you can find it. And in parties and celebrations, that's usually where they will go to buy alcohol. Because you can find any type. Like, Singani is one of the big ones, but you can find Bolivian homemade vodka in barrels.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, like, yeah, if you really want to have a very drunken party, go to Bolivia, La Paz, the shitty part of the city.
Or South America.
No. Let me tell you. I think that, like, probably the cheapest and most amount of alcohol you can get is in Bolivia.
That makes sense, though. That does make sense.
It does. We have the biggest indigenous population and one of the poorest ones in South America.
Yeah.
So they make a lot of moonshine. They get drunk often as well. Alcohol consumption, by the way, I'm just adding this in there, is a really big problem in Bolivia. Alcohol abuse.
I feel that from all this drinking culture around it, I think it does have a negative side. I think it gives room for people to abuse it. Yeah. I think it gives room for young people to enter that lifestyle very early.
Yeah, and I think this is a very common thing in South America, but you don't get ID'd for buying alcohol.
No, in Venezuela you do. They just don't even care.
Oh, in Bolivia you don't get ID'd. Straight up, I don't think I have given my ID even as an 18-year-old ever in Bolivia. Like, you do not get ID'd, not for clubs, not for alcohol, not for anything. And you can buy alcohol usually in, like, stores and stuff, but they're in the market kind of place.
Oh.
So nobody's going to be checking if you're legal or not, and they will sell you anything and everything that you want, which does cause an issue. There's a lot of alcoholism and abuse because of alcoholism, so... It's an issue, and it's an issue that should be taken better care of, but I don't think it will be because it's very much implanted since the Spaniards got to Bolivia of, like, just consume alcohol and drugs and it's fine.
No, it's gonna basically make you forget about your life, so whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, and when you are one of the poorest countries in South America... people tend to drink a lot.
And as Carol G said, y si no me acuerdo, no pasó. Which translates to, if I don't remember, it didn't happen.
Yeah. It's a big factor. I really need to, like, emphasize how much of Bolivian drinking culture is way worse than other countries. So our first episode, how do you feel about it?
I think it went great.
I hope it did. We will see in editing.
Thank you guys for listening. This was Bottoms Up for Audioversity, Voice of Reichman University, 106.2 FM.
I'm your host, Shiri.
And I'm Alan.
Drink responsibly.
Cheers.